to the voice within. The voice of my spirit. He'll always help you win. He shows you the way to go. He increases wisdom and he helps you know. I've given him to you to help you do what I've called you to do. He will bring you into all truth. He will empower you to break through. Listen closely to him. Obey his voice. And you will make the right choice each and every time. Hallelujah. Now, I want to ask you a question. If you had nothing at all but faith in God, would that be enough? How many think that just having faith in God would be enough? Right? Okay. Well, how did God create this world? He did it by faith, right? With his faith, he created something that wasn't there before, right? He did it by faith because he spoke his words, he believed what he said, and it came into being, okay? So if you have faith in God, that's enough to get anything from God that you need. In other words, God has given to every one of us a measure of faith. And faith is how we exchange what we need for what God has. Right? Faith is like our currency. So tonight I want to welcome you to the Great Faith Exchange. And any time that you exchange something by faith, you're always trading up. You always get something better. You always get something more. You always get something more excellent. Okay? And in Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read 1 through 6. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Say, faith is a substance. So if you are hoping for something, your faith is what makes it a reality. It's the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. Say, faith is evidence. Faith is proof that it exists. It's evidence and it's substance. It's evidence of things not seen. Faith is for the unseen. For by it, the elders obtain a good report. You can obtain anything that God said by faith. Another way to look at it, there's other translations, they say faith is the title deed. Okay? If you've ever had a mortgage or a car loan, when you have a car loan, does the bank hold your car as collateral? What do they hold? They hold a title. A title is issued by the state. A title proves the existence of the vehicle. Okay, it has its identification number, its year, make, and model. And That title is proof that that car exists. So God's word is his title deed. It proves that everything in here exists. And you can obtain it by faith. Okay? The elders obtained a good report. They didn't have one, but they obtained one. How did they do it? By faith. Okay? Through faith. Verse 3, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. The structure that holds up this building, behind these walls, you will find a framework. They bear the weight of the building. Because there's a framework in place, you can put other things on the framework. Now, the worlds were created by God's Word. They were framed by God's Word. God's Word is the substance that holds this world up. If God's Word were to ever fail, which it will never fail, but if it ever did fail, the world would crumble and fall apart. So the very same faith that framed the world is the very same faith that God gave to you. The same faith. You can create your world with faith. You can change your world with faith. Right? If I had a wall and I wanted to make a door, I could change the framework. And I could make a door where there was no door before by changing the framework. So things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. So which is more real? What we see or what we don't see? What we don't see is more real. Why? Because what we don't see made what we see. So behind this chair, there was a manufacturer. There was a designer. We can't see them, but we see the work that they did. And they mass-produced them. Okay? All right, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. How did he do it? He offered by faith. If you read the entire chapter of Hebrews, you will find that faith affects everything. There is nothing you can't do by faith. By which he obtained witness that he was righteous. He offered something by faith, and he obtained righteousness. He wasn't righteous, but he obtained it by faith. Okay? God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead yet speaks. Wow. I heard, you know, I know a lot of preachers that are dead, but I still hear them speak on their videos, right? I mean, I turned on a channel on TV, and they're showing a minister that's been gone for over 10 years, yet they're still showing his program. He's dead, but yet he still speaks. All right, now verses 5 and 6 are what we're going to focus on tonight. By faith, Enoch was translated. That doesn't mean he had a different language. It means he was taken out of here. He was translated that he should not see death. How did he avoid death? By faith. Okay? Because God had translated him. Or he was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony. He pleased God. Everybody said he pleased God. Is it possible for us to please God? All right, now we know this next verse because it's a very famous verse. But without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him, to please God. You cannot please God without faith. It requires, pleasing God requires faith. Okay? For he that comes to God, faith is someone that comes to God. Faith takes an action toward God. Faith goes after God. Faith gravitates towards God. Everybody in the Bible that had faith and Jesus walked by, they reached out for him, they went for him, they went after him. Faith doesn't sit still when it comes to God. Faith is very active toward God. Okay? He that comes to God must believe. What must you believe? That He is, that God exists. There are a lot of people that don't think He exists. But if you're going to come to God, you've got to believe in His existence, that He is. And you've got to believe something else. That He is a what? Say, God is a rewarder. Who does He reward? He rewards those that diligently seek Him. Okay? Now, this is in reference to Enoch. You find the story of Enoch in Genesis 5. All right? Let's go there for just a moment. Genesis chapter 5. Okay? And we will hear about Enoch. And let's go to verse 21. Melissa will be happy. I did some calculations. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. His first child was at 65 years old. Okay? Now, Jude tells us that Enoch was seventh from Adam. Okay? When Enoch was born, all right, he was the son of Jared. Adam was 622 years old. Adam lived to be 930 years old. Okay? So, while Enoch was alive, Adam was alive. Now, whether they were in close proximity, I don't know. I don't know the span of area that they covered at that time on the earth. But I do know that Enoch was seventh from Adam. I do know that Adam was 620 years old, 622 years old, while Enoch was alive. Okay? And so Enoch lived for 365 years. But after his son Methuselah was born, verse 22, it said, Enoch walked with God. Everybody say, he walked with God. This was after sin had entered the world. A man decided that he was going to walk with God. Okay? It affected his entire life. Okay? He in his walk with God, after he begot Methuselah, 300 years, he begot sons and daughters. Verse 23, And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. He lived as many years as we have days in a year. Must be something tight about that. Okay? Verse 24. Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. So Enoch walked with God 300 years, because he started walking with God when he was 65. Okay? And he walked with God for 300 years. And he got so close to God that God took him. All right? And his testimony was that he pleased God. He was transported to heaven without dying. Okay? Enoch is a type of the rapture of the church. If you're still here when Jesus comes, you are going to have the greatest elevator ride that you've ever had in your entire life. You are going to be changed in the twinkling of an eye, and you are going to shoot into the sky to be with Jesus. Okay? And so I want to talk to you tonight about how our walk affects our faith. If Enoch walked with God, which he did, and in his walk he got so close to God that God took him. Can you imagine this now? You're walking with God, right? You know, God likes to walk with you. He walked with Adam in the cool of the day. God designed you to walk with Him, to fellowship with Him, to have communion with Him, to have intimacy with Him. Okay? So Enoch, he's walking with God, right? And all of a sudden, he takes one step too far. And he just steps into glory. Okay? Would you call that a promotion? Okay? He walked with God, and he walked his way into heaven. All right? And he just, you know, he didn't die. He just walked right in. I mean, he's walking with God. All of a sudden, one day he goes, wow, this is a cool place. Yeah, God says, yeah, you're going to be staying here the rest of your days. And Enoch said, okay. I mean, do you realize he was always geared, he was already geared in his heart towards heaven. You cannot walk with God and not be heavenly minded. You cannot walk with God and not be spiritually minded. You can't walk with God and mistreat people without apologizing and repenting quickly if you do. But there was something about his walk with God that enhanced his faith. He got the ultimate promotion. So, in 2018, I want you to make it your point to walk with God. Let God take you by the hand and lead you through the rough places in life. You know, sometimes in life you encounter a very busy street where cars are going back and forth, and you need someone to take you by the hand and guide you through. That's about walking with God, okay? Now, we're going to look at a Christian's walk in the New Testament, but I guarantee you that Enoch did every one of these things. Otherwise, God wouldn't have took him. God wouldn't have hung out with him for 300 years if he didn't. Amen? Okay? So, we're going to go over these maybe quickly. I don't know. But I'm just going to mention a few of these. You can write them down. We're not going to turn there, but we will turn to Romans 4. All right, you can turn to Romans 4 and listen while I give you these. All right, Deuteronomy 5:33, it says, walk in all that God commands. How do you walk in God's commands? You position yourself with a willing and obedient heart, and whatever God says, you're willing and obedient to do. If God said it, you don't argue, you don't reason, you just do. When God says something, you say, yes, sir, and you take action. Deuteronomy 19:9. Part of walking with God is loving God. You can't walk with God unless you love Him. When you're in love, you don't mind taking walks. Amen? I see people who love their dogs take their dogs for walks. Now, I guarantee you, in this weather, it's not too pleasant, but they love that dog, and they're out there walking with that dog. Amen? There's lots of dog lovers in our neighborhood. I see them walking every day. They're walking with that dog. Deuteronomy 27:17. Part of walking with God is obeying His voice. When you're walking with someone, you don't have to raise your voice. You can communicate and talk because you're close. See, walking with God is not saying, hey, God, how are you doing over there? That's not walking with God. Walking with God is Him, you side by side, hand in hand, step in step. 2 Kings 23:3, walking with God means following the Lord and performing His words. Do you perform His words, or are you following another script? Oh, did you know that Christians are not to ad-lib life? We have been given a script for life called the Bible. And you better just follow the script, because it was written by the Master. And it was written for you. Okay? Psalm 81:13, part of walking with God is listening to the Lord. Everybody say listening. We ought to do twice as much listening than we do speaking. 2 to 1 ears, right? 2 ears to 1 mouth. That's a 2 to 1 ratio. Okay? Psalm 89, verse 15. Part of walking with God is walking in the light of His countenance. You know, when you get close to God, His light affects you. Moses, when he got on the mountaintop where God was, how did he come down? He was bright. He was brilliant, right? He was shining. See? We ought to be affected by the light. How do you know if you spend enough time in God's presence? Do you have a suntan? If you don't have a suntan, go back in. Spend some time in His presence a little bit longer and then come out. Hallelujah. Psalm 119, verse 3, part of walking with God is not doing iniquity. What's iniquity? Being evil? Being wicked? See, when you're walking with God, you don't want to do wickedness. You want to avoid it. You want to walk righteously. Enoch walked with God. He's in Genesis. He's in Hebrews. He's in Jude. There's not even that much said about him. But his life means a lot. Amos 3:3, part of walking with God is agreeing with God. It says, can two walk together unless they be in agreement? You You know, when you don't agree with someone, you don't want to walk with them. You know, if someone you disagree with say, you want to come for a walk? No, you go walk yourself. You don't want to walk with them. Why? Because you don't agree. If you try to walk with someone you don't agree with, you argue. Can two walk together unless they be in agreement? Micah 4 or 5, this is powerful. Part of walking with the Lord is walking in His name, knowing the authority, the power, and the position of His name. We talked a lot about that, didn't we? The name of God. And Malachi 2:6, part of walking with God is speaking the truth. So have you gotten to Romans yet? Romans chapter 4 and verse 12. How does our walk affect our faith? You can't be in faith and walk with the devil. It's like trying to mix oil and water. It doesn't work. How you walk is really how you live. Anytime the Bible talks about walking, it's talking about living every day, right? Because walking, you're taking a series of steps, right? As my friend once said back in Illinois, he told one of his friends, he said, Jesus will put a step in your walk. And when he said that, the guy turned around and walked the other way. I guess he didn't want Jesus to put it, change his walk at all. Romans 4, verse 12. And the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Would you say that Abraham walked with God? The Bible calls us seeds of Abraham. It says you, Galatians 3:29, if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to his promise. Say, I'm an heir. That's a new mindset on being an heirhead. I'm an H-E-I-R head. I'm an heir. So, we have to walk in the steps of faith. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says we have to walk by faith, not by sight. When you walk with God, you can't let your senses lead you. Your five physical senses are not connected to God, even though they can be affected by God. God doesn't speak to your senses, He speaks to your spirit. We're supposed to walk by faith, not by sight. Okay? When you're sick in your body, you don't walk by what your body says, you walk by what God's Word says. You're walking by faith, not by sight. In other words, when you walk by faith, what does that mean? You let God's Word govern you. And if your feelings disagree with what God said, then guess what has to change? Your feelings. Thomas, for a brief moment in his life, walked by sight. He was gone. And the disciples said, Thomas, guess what? The Lord was here. He appeared after he died. He showed up. I'm not going to believe till I see it with my eyes and feel it with my hands. Okay. Next day, Thomas is there. Jesus comes in. And Thomas felt him. Thomas saw him. Then he said, my Lord and my God. Okay, he just needed a little help. Right? Jesus came on his level. But I guarantee you that changed, that enhanced his faith. Okay? Now, Jesus did say, blessed are those who don't see and believe. So, we have to Enoch walked by faith, not by sight. In other words, he allowed the Word of God to govern his actions, thoughts, and words. In other words, when you're walking by faith and not by sight, you have to come in alignment with what God said. Irregardless of how you feel or what others have said or what you have experienced. We're not to be led by our experiences. We can learn from them, but they're not leaders. God did not design our experiences to be our voice, because He will give you new experiences. Okay? Go to Romans 6 and verse 4. Chapter 6 and verse 4. See, before we get into the faith exchange, we got to learn how to walk. You will not run unless you know how to walk, right? Babies learn how to walk. First they stand, then they learn how to walk, then they start running. But we have to, as Christians, we have to learn how to walk. And in the weeks to come, we're going to get into the faith exchange. We're going to see how we can exchange our faith for anything. I'm just laying the foundation tonight. All right? But we're going to see how we can exchange our faith for healing, how we can exchange our faith for increase, how we can exchange our faith for strength, how we can exchange our faith for peace, how we can exchange our faith for salvation. We're going to get into that. So you at Romans 6, 4? Romans 6, 4. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in what? Newness of life. It's time that we put on the new man. The new man is just like Jesus, or the new woman. I'm a new man. How'd you get to be a new man? I accepted Jesus Christ into my heart. I'm embracing the newness. New. You got to walk in the newness of life. If old tendencies try to come up, you got to not let them flourish. I remember I was in the library one time, and I don't know what book it was, but I saw this paragraph, and the headline said it was a tough fight, but the old man had to die. You know, sometimes our old man wants to stick its nose in our spiritual business. Anybody ever experienced that? Old tendencies, old feelings, you know, things that used to happen to you, cravings that you thought you were free from, they just kind of come up every once in a while. But we have to walk in the newness of life. God made you a new man. We got to put on the new man. That means you got to put off old things. Things of the flesh. We got to put that off. If you used to lie, tell the truth. That's the newness. We got to walk in the newness of life. Ephesians 4 talks about the new man. He describes it in great detail. It's something that we can put on. It's something. It's a way that we can live. New. God is into new things, as any creator would be. He is a creator. God is never stale. When the Israelites were in the wilderness, God did not rain down stale bread. He gave them fresh bread every day for 40 years. Now, He told them, if you try to hoard more than what you need, it will get stale, but that's your own fault. But God never brought them stale things. When they needed water, He brought it fresh out of a rock. God likes new things. We've got to walk in the newness of life. That means you walk with your head high. Not like this. If you're walking like this, you got some weights on you that you need to be. The Bible says, lay aside every weight and sin that does so easily beset you. You can't walk like you should with weights on you. You got to get rid of some weights. You got to be free. Some people, when they come to church, it's like they got weights on their arms. And when it's time to praise God, why is it so hard for some people to lift up? I don't know if that's anybody that describes anybody here, but I mean, my first time when I was in a charismatic church, I did the half hand raise thing. You know, when I wasn't really sure, I was like, okay. You know, that's when I accepted Jesus. But after that time, it was not hard for me to raise my hands. Why? Because my help comes from Daddy. So I raise my hands to let the devil know that I'm free. And he has no hold on me. Say, I'm free. The devil has no hold on me. Amen. Walk in that. Jesus went to the cross so that you could have this new life. Walk like it. Own your newness. Let him put a step. Let him change your step. All right? Let's go to Romans 8. Aren't you liking this chronological stuff, man? You can tell that's a teacher. That is a teacher, man. Prophecy is good, so is teaching. Romans 8, verse 1. There is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, comma, who do what? Who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Are you walking after the Spirit? Are you being motivated by the Spirit? Who motivates you when that alarm clock rings? Your flesh or your spirit? Or if the Lord tells you to fast and you smell that whatever's cooking on the stove, when you're fasting, things smell better. But we have to walk according to the Spirit. Go to Galatians chapter 5 for a minute. Galatians chapter 5. And look at verse 16. Enoch walked after God. If you want to be a person of faith, if you want to be able to have strong faith where you can exchange your faith for anything that you need for God, from God, you've got to be able to walk with God. Your walk affects your faith. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So that tells me if you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not walking in the Spirit. In other words, you got your focus on the wrong place. You're focusing on how you can please your flesh, not your spirit. Your flesh is dominating your life, not your spirit. Believe me, I know. You feed your flesh, it gets bigger. You feed your spirit, it gets bigger. You can tell what people are feeding themselves. Their spirits, they've been starving, and they're wimpy, wimpy, wimpy. And when they try to yield to God, it's so hard. You know, when God is moving, they're reluctant to yield because their flesh has been leading, not the Spirit. How do you feed your spirit? With the Word of God, with prayer, with worship. Speaking in tongues, that feeds your spirit. That's a direct line to God. And every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit. Every believer can be filled with the Holy Spirit and speak with tongues. Every believer. Verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. I guarantee you that your flesh and your spirit do not agree. So someone's got to be the bigger one to make the decision. There's a lot of times your flesh doesn't want to come to church. I know there's a lot of times my flesh doesn't want to come to church. But guess what? It has no choice. My spirit says, come along. And my flesh says, yes, sir. You got to make your flesh do things that pleases the Spirit. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, but the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. Verse 18, but if you're led of the Spirit, you are not under the law. Being led by the Spirit is a freeing thing. You don't have to be told because the Spirit tells you to do things. You're led by the Spirit and you're not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, discord, jealousy, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. You know anybody that just likes to party? You know? And such the like. Those things are of the flesh. Does that mean that if you're spiritual, you can't party? No. It just means you party in a different way. You're not partying to please your flesh. You're partying to please God. Your goal is pleasing God. Because I'm telling you, when you're with God, God gives you a good time. You know, if you don't find Christianity fun, you're a religious stuck-in-the-mud person. You got to get out of the mud. God will bring his, what do you call those big trucks? Monster trucks. He'll bring a big spiritual monster truck to pull you out of your muck and mire. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So when you're pleasing the Spirit, those things are going to be manifest. You become a productive, okay? All right? Let's go back to Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. I have more lists than I have time. Romans 13. Verses 11 through 13. Okay, he's talking about what love does. He says in verse 10, love works no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. Verse 11, and that knowing the time that now it is, high time to awake out of sleep. Look at your neighbor and say, wake up. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent as the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. What are you supposed to do with the works of darkness? Cast it off. Yank it off. Throw it out with the trash. And let us put on the armor of light. Verse 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering or wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh. So we got to walk as Christ walked. Was Christ bothered by criticism? Nope. Anybody that criticized him, he just looked at him and smiled sweetly. And just didn't stop him. We got to walk as Christ walked. There's a lot of things in a day, in a week, that try to deter you from God. There's a lot of things that pull on you, but you got to walk like Christ walked. You got to just walk away from those things. You know what? When you do what the Spirit wants over what the flesh wants, you're better off. But when you do what the flesh wants over what the Spirit wants, you're worse off. Sin is fun for a season. But then it turns into captivity. And you're like, how did I get here? Sin makes you pay more than you want to pay. It makes you go further than what you wanted to go. It makes you do things that you didn't want to do. But we got to walk as Christ walked. You know, Joseph, he was tempted and he walked away. Jesus was tempted and he walked away. He resisted it. With every temptation, he said, it is written. Did you know that you can do the same thing? And man, if you feel something pulling you away from God versus to God, you got to resist it. Steadfast in the faith. Your adversary walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. We can resist him. Steadfast in the faith. Say, I can resist the enemy. Okay, we got to walk like Christ walked. Christ walked in victory. Christ walked in love. It's another thing that we got to do is walk in love. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to give you two more. Two more. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. We are his workmanship. That word workmanship means masterpiece. Say, I am the Lord's masterpiece. Say, I'm beautiful. I'm good. I'm strong. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. In other words, God had a mold called Jesus. And he took that mold and he stuffed you in it. And he put you on the sheet and you look just like Jesus. Just like if you take some dough and put it into the shape of a tree, right? And you stick it on the paper, what happens? The dough looks like tree, right? Doesn't it? Those of you that make cookies, you probably made some of those cookies. You probably used a mold to make those shapes of the cookies. Jesus did that. We are created in Christ Jesus. When we got born again, when we accepted Jesus into our heart, we are just like Jesus. We are created in true righteousness and true holiness. We are made after his image and in his likeness. And he said, we're created unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should what? Walk in them. We need to start walking in God's good works for us. What are God's good works? Anything that promotes his kingdom. Anything that exalts his name. Anything that brings glory and honor to him. We need to walk in good works. We need to walk in the works that you were created. Walk in your calling. Do what you were created to do. Do what you were called to do. If you don't know what that is, you can find it out. Find it out so that you can do it. Don't be a wanderer all your life. You're just wandering around, not really knowing what you're here for. If people have been in church for 20 years and they don't know what they're called to do, there's a problem with them. What have you been listening to? What have you been doing for 20 years? You're like a dead sea. You're sucking it in and not giving it out. God has created each and every one of us for something good. Say, I've been created for greatness. Yeah, we got to walk in God's good works. Be available for God to minister through you, wherever you are. You don't have to be in church to minister. You could do it in your home. You could do it out and about, wherever you are. You have the life of God in you. Walk in it. Walk into that doctor's office like you bring in Jesus with you to sit with you. Did you know that you can change atmospheres? Did you know that Jesus gives the devil a headache? Because whenever he walked in and the devil was, they go, ah! Yeah, devils would just scream out, I know who you are, Jesus! Yeah, be quiet. Then the devil couldn't say anything else. Are you walking in your authority? Are you walking in his promises? We got to walk like we're a believer. When something bad happens, do we turn on the complain level or do we turn on the praise level? You know, you got two knobs on the stereo. Are we tuning on the praise channel or are we tuning on the complaining channel? Oh, woe is me. What a bad day I'm having. Yeah, but you could also be having a different day. You know, did you know that your attitude affects your faith? It does. You got a bad attitude, you got weak faith. Because faith rejoices, faith rests, faith is at peace. Faith can stand. Faith can be having a party when all hell's breaking loose. Paul and Silas, they decided to sing after they were beaten and imprisoned and chained. You talk about having a bad day? Beaten. I mean beaten. They had bruises on their backs. But not once did they sing about their bruises. Paul and Silas, they didn't say, oh, Paul, I got big bruises. They're black and blue. He wasn't singing that. He could care less about his bruises. He cared more about Jesus than his bruises. We need to care more about Jesus than the things that happen in life. There are opportunities to either praise. You can either praise or complain. It takes the same amount of effort. Amen? But it's how we walk. It's how we live every day. Faith is a lifestyle. You don't just put on faith on Wednesdays or Sundays or Saturdays or Tuesdays. By the way, those are every days that we have services. You got to put on faith. It's every day. You got to go to bed with faith. You got to wake up with faith. Amen? Oh, my goodness. See, I can do anything with my faith. Say, nothing is impossible to my faith. All right, go to Romans 12, verse 3, and then I'm going to close there. All right? Romans 12, verse 3. It says, for by the grace given to me. See, I have grace. You know, God gave you grace. He didn't charge you anything for it either. Grace is a gift. I tell everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he should think. When you start to think of yourself more highly than you ought to, you're headed for a nosedive. Instead, think sensibly as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one. Say, I have a measure. Now, faith is not increased by receiving more. Faith is increased by doing more. It's by taking action towards God. David was called to be a king. But on the path to being a king, there was a giant. And he did not know that that day he was going to be facing a giant to make him a king. But he had been preparing in the field. He was preparing in the pasture. What was he doing? He was singing praises to God. He was talking to God. He was walking with God. And he was protecting his sheep. You know, he defended it against a lion and a bear. He killed the lion, killed the bear. But I say, kill. And little did he know, but he was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. And how did he get to the battlefield? He was delivering bread and cheese. He didn't know that what was going to be there on the battlefield. His father said, just take this bread and cheese, give it to your brother's commanders, and tell me what's going on around on the battlefield. And he walked on the battlefield, and he heard an enemy talking about his God. And he's like, he just went into action. Who is this uncircumcised, no covenant, no relationship with God Philistine? He identified him to the T. I'm a covenant man. That man has no covenant. I'm gonna whoop him. I'm gonna whoop his little behind. And then he inquires. See, because faith, God rewards those who diligently seek him, right? David said, I'm not going to get involved in this battle unless I know what my reward is. So what is the guy going to get that defeats this guy? Oh, you're going to get to marry the king's daughter, you won't have to pay taxes, and you'll be rich. That sounds pretty good to me. And then his brother tries to intimidate him because David's brother should have been doing what David did, but he wasn't. David's brother was a soldier who was paralyzed by fear. He couldn't act because he had no faith. He had more faith in the giant than he did in God, Eliab, the brother. And I don't even know why I'm on this. Someone needs to know something about David. And David said, I will go fight this guy. Do you realize no one was willing to fight him for 40 days? For 40 days, the congregation of the church in the valley, the Israeli Valley Christian Fellowship, the Valley Christian Fellowship, VCF, right? For 40 days, they sat on their duffs while the enemy intimidated them, mocked them, criticized them, said something about them. They were paralyzed. The whole entire army, from the king to every soldier. God had to send someone that was a shepherd onto the scene so that someone would do something about this guy. And David said, I'll fight. Saul says, but you're just a boy. Don't you look at me like I'm just a boy. I got something big on the inside of me. He who is in me is greater than he who is in him. And Saul said, okay, here's my armor. David puts it on. This ain't going to work. You know, you got to do with what you know. Right? Don't try to be someone else. Be who you God created you to be. Just because someone does it different, I always wanted to sing. You know, early on I thought, God, am I called to preach? I can't sing. And every other preacher I heard could sing. I'm like, I can't sing. God gave the singing voice to my sister. Gave me the preaching voice. So David said, no, I got to use what I know what to do with. I got to use my gifts, my talents, and my abilities. So he goes out and he faces the giants by faith. He walks onto the field by faith. He calls out the giant by faith. He goes to the king, says, I'm willing to fight by faith. He's doing everything that David did was by faith. Because he was acting on the word. And to make a long story short, he got on that battlefield. And he won every other word war, but he had one more word war to win. It was the giant and him facing off. That's the giant. David said, I'm going to cut your head off and feed your carcass to the birds. You come at me with a sword and a spear, I come at you with the name of the Lord. He ran after the giant. Got those stones. Shoot. The Holy Ghost grabbed a hold of that stone and he aimed it. Boom! Giant fell. You can use your imagination on that one. He did it by faith. Everything David did was by faith. Then he took the giant's sword and lifted that thing. The sword was probably bigger than David. Lifted that thing up and cut off his head. Listen, you got to make sure that your enemy is defeated. You got to make sure that the thing that you face that's against you is defeated completely. And then, all of a sudden, the Israelites got courageous. Now the giants, they were all after the Philistines now. After sitting on their butts for 40 days. And from that moment on, David only shepherded part-time because he was the king's armor bearer now. But that was what he needed to do to become king, to do what God called him to do. It doesn't matter where you are. What matters is where you're going. And when you walk by faith, and when you do things by faith, you will always, always, always have the victory. You are unstoppable by faith. You are undisputed, undefeated, a champion by faith. You can do anything by faith. Amen? I want you to stand up. And if you're watching tonight, I want you to put your faith in God. Take your focus off yourself, off your circumstances, and look to Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Call out to him, and he'll help you, and just do what he tells you to do in Jesus' name. So, up here tonight are miracles. Up here tonight are victories. Up here tonight is everything that you need, want, and desire. And it is yours for the taking by faith. So if there's something that you need, as an act of your faith, I want you to make a move towards God. And I want you to come up and I want you to see yourself receiving whatever it is that you need. If you need healing, I want you to see yourself whole. What could you do? What could you be doing if you weren't sick? Amen? That's how you got to see yourself. Faith sees the victory before the battle ever starts. So everything that you need, want, and desire, it's here.